The warm air, the sounds of baseball, it's got you thinking about hitting the road. And no matter where your adventures take you, Subaru of Gwinnett has a vehicle to get you there safely and in style. Like the 2024 Subaru Outback, sporting standard symmetrical all-wheel drive and up to 32 miles per gallon. Or the 2024 Subaru Forester, the SUV with a spacious and comfortable interior for everyone you want to bring along. Start your shopping online at SubaruofGwinnett.com, then come see us for a test drive on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth.
Are you working? What kind of work do you do?
This is the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Touchdown! 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 Georgia!
Now here are your hosts, two-time All-American punter Drew Butler.
Drew Butler, leader in the country in punts 49+. See if he booms this one. He does. Wow!
And Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl, and SEC Championship winning quarterback Jake Fromm.
Flea flicker to get the night started. Downfield looking for Godwin.
Now, with the latest from around the SEC and the world of college football, it's the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Dogs are winners. A national championship for a new generation of Bulldogs.
Victory is mine. Yeah, surprisingly, I've been laying, waiting for your next mistake. I put in work and watch my status escalate.
Your cornballs get stonewalled.
Welcome in to the Punt and Pass Podcast. I'm your host, Drew Butler, joined alongside by my co-host, Jake Fromm. Be sure to follow us on social media at Punt and Pass on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Drew Butler. He's at Fromm Jake. PuntandPass.com, the number one destination for all things college football. We are headed to week 8. That's right, week 7 in the books. Crazy how fast the season is going on. Georgia heads into a bye week. They're still undefeated. They're still ranked number one in the nation. But I don't know for how much longer. A lot of storylines and news to break down as we recap what was week 7. Jake Fromm, what's up, my man?
Man, what's going on? Gosh, week 8, Georgia goes to the bye. That means Florida's coming up next.
Yes, sir.
Just trying to stay along with our NFL schedule, man. It's flying by, dude. We're already in the middle of October. Slow down a little bit. Weather's changing. Dude, it's a great day to be alive.
How about the weather in Atlanta, Georgia today? We're recording this on a Monday. It was a crispy 55 degrees. The wind was whipping. I might have been outside. It was not warm. I can tell you that much. A little chilly, but no complaints here. Fall is in the air. You know what that means? That means the holidays are right around the corner. So what do you need to do? You need to head on over to Solomon Brothers Jewelers and take care of your holiday gifts for your significant other or anybody else who may be special in your life. Solomon Brothers Jewelers, Buckhead and Alpharetta. You know the locations right by now. Just past the Avalon in Alpharetta, 17th floor, Tower Place in Buckhead. It's the store for anyone with any budget, the largest diamond and jewelry inventory in the Southeast. If you walk in and mention the Punt and Pass Podcast or myself or Jake, you can get 10% off your jewelry purchase. Check out their amazing selection at Solomon Brothers on Instagram. Also at SolomonBrothers.com, the lowest prices on the highest quality jewelry and diamonds guaranteed. And an amazing watch selection as well. I'm saying that because I know we have a couple of female listeners out there. If your significant other needs a holiday gift, head on into Solomon Brothers and get your man a watch. Jaron and the crew at Solomon Brothers have an amazing selection for you to make this holiday the most special one. SolomonBrothers.com at Solomon Brothers on Instagram. All right, Georgia beats Vanderbilt 37-20 on the road in Nashville. We can talk about a lot from the stadium being completely under construction to Georgia getting ready in a tent in a parking lot to the scoreboard hanging from a crane. But I think the number one thing that needs to be discussed is what happened during the game. That, of course, being Brock Bowers injured, high ankle sprain, comes out today. He's getting tightrope procedure. Fascinating to me, Jake. This is the third Georgia player to get, quote, tightrope procedure so far this season. Brock Bowers joins Amarius Mims and Lawson Lucky. I'm old. I'm washed up. I know these things. But when you had a high ankle sprain when I played, you did not get tightrope procedure. Jake, enlighten me.
Dude, I wish I could. I'm so unfamiliar with this procedure. But, I mean, before we get into that, man, I hate it for Brock. It sucks, man. He's having a great season, really just kind of putting his stamp on his college football career. You know, Hey, he's still going to go down as obviously one of the best Georgia players to ever play. But I think the way he finished could have really started to make that next leap, you know, one, absolutely, two, maybe three. I mean, just the player he is and the impact that he has on the game. So I don't know if you know anything about this tightrope procedure. I don't, man. I just know it doesn't sound good anytime you mention surgery along with a high ankle sprain.
Yeah, so the timeout is an expected 3 to 6 weeks. Obviously, Georgia has the bye. Then they play Florida. Then they play Missouri. Then they play Ole Miss. Then they play Tennessee. I mean, this is the gauntlet that Georgia needs to get through in order to keep all their goals and hopes and dreams alive for a potential three-peat, for a back-to-back SEC championship. You said you don't know much about tightrope procedure. Neither do I. I saw an account that I follow on Twitter at John Tweet Sports. He put out a video or retweeted a video of what this procedure is. And I don't want to get too technical here, but essentially what you do is you make a small incision and you are threading needle or something. I mean, I'm not a doctor, so don't take me seriously when I say this, but you're making microscopic holes in the tib and fib, and you're threading something in between the two and like tightening it up when you pull it out. It's crazy. Go look at the video. I know that probably does not come across very well through the audio format, but there's a reason why they're doing this, right? It's because if you can come back from a high ankle sprain in 3 to 6 and you don't have that lingering effect of a high ankle sprain, then I guess it's worth it. When you hear high ankle sprain, even if you get it in week two, most likely, Jake, and you can probably attest to this, you're going to be dealing with it through week 15 or through the end of the season, because that's just the reality of the situation. Now, you mentioned Brock Bowers and how unfortunate it is that this may or may not be the end of his season and his career at Georgia. His impact on the field is immeasurable. We all know that. His production is second to none. I would argue that his impact, without him even having to get the football, is just as important, because what it does is it commands so much respect from the defense. They have to know where he is. It allows a play caller like Coach Bobo to use him as a decoy to open up so many other things that the offense can do. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look at, I'm going to kind of make some comparisons here, but kind of the Miami Dolphins right now in the NFL, like they have Tyreek Hill, they have Jalen Waddle. They have the running back. I mean, they just have so much speed on the field, and it just commands so much respect from a defense, from a defensive coordinator, of how he's going to call things. They're going to want to try to keep everything in front. In a similar way that the defenses are going to try to do that too with Georgia and with Brock there. But when he's not there, like, who's that guy they're looking to say, hey, we got to stop this guy because this guy could hurt us. So they're going to be able to free up and do a few more things on defense, I believe. I'd be curious to see what changes as far as looks, of what kind of looks they're going to get, what kind of defensive fronts, what kind of coverages, maybe different pressures. I don't know, but his impact is definitely going to be missed.
Who makes up for that impact? Who makes up for Brock Bowers not being there? I mean, Oscar Delp obviously got activated as the game went on against Vanderbilt. We'll get to the defense in just a second. We'll get to the kind of sloppy nature of the game in a second as well. But I think it's Carson Beck. Like, dude, it's time to step up. We're going into week 8. You got a bye week. You know that you're not going to have Brock Bowers at your availability for the next couple of weeks. This is your offense. I think Dejan Edwards has done a fantastic job carrying the load. From the running back perspective, there are plenty of wide receivers. Where do you go from here? Who needs to step up in order to say, okay, this is where we're going to kind of fill the void for Brock Bowers, even if that's not even possible?
Yeah, I mean, one definitely jumps off to me is Ladd McConkey. Yeah. Like, get healthy, because he's always there on third down. He is the key, the number one read in the progression on third down. So he's got to pick up. Kind of a lot of that load, be ready to roll. So hopefully he gets healthy.
Yeah, I think so too. And you know, the defense needs to force some more turnovers, I think, give the offense a couple more opportunities to put the ball in the end zone. But those are all wishes, all right? You have to do it on the field, and it starts with converting on third downs. It starts with taking care of the football. It starts with starting fast, and that's not what Georgia did against Vanderbilt last week. A lot of soft zone to start the game, Jake, which was very interesting to me. I thought with the talent that Vanderbilt has on their offense and how they wanted to throw the ball to start the game, are you telling me that our DBs can't line up a man, press those dudes off the line of scrimmage and say, go try to beat us? It was just interesting to see how Georgia's game plan started on the defensive side of the ball, because with that soft weak zone, they were hitting the slants, going and finding space and getting in the end zone. It was kind of just an interesting start to the game for Georgia.
Yeah, I would have to say so. It was one that I wasn't really expecting, honestly. It really, really kind of shocked me of how good they were just dinking and dunking, so to speak. I mean, quarterback was playing well, man. He was finding those holes in those zones, and he was getting there on time when the hole in the zone presented itself. So, and they schemed him up pretty good, and executed very well, hit the slant route. I mean, it was a stacked, they were in a stack. It was two receivers out there, but they weren't really close enough to really call it a stack, and it kind of got the DBs messed up. One matched, and he slipped underneath and was able to find a very big hole in his own. So, not ideal, great way to start, but anytime that something bad happens on defense, they usually respond, and they have a whole bye week to figure that out and to get yelled at by old coach Kirby Smart.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Any reasons to be worried about Florida? They woke up late in the fourth quarter against South Carolina, scored 41 points. Graham Mertz has actually been putting together a pretty solid season as Florida's quarterback. You know, there would make nobody would be happier than Billy Napier to somehow find a way to knock off Kirby Smart and the Georgia Bulldogs. Is that even in the realm of possibility with Brock Bowers now being out?
Dude, I don't know. All I've seen on my Twitter feed today is Graham Mertz, and he's got more passing yards than so-and-so, as many touchdowns as so-and-so. They're cooking it at the right time. Like they're heating up. Let's see what they do after this bye and see if they can stay in a role. But this isn't hey, we're going to steam past and roll past these guys. I mean, we're going to have to show up and play. And execute and play well. So play some good complimentary football. And we need the defense to step up too. Let's get to the quarterback to help the DBs out. And let's man some guys up and play a little macho ball.
No doubt. I think like that's where the mind shift is going to have to go to Georgia's team, especially with Brock being out. I mean, that's going to be the storyline. No Brock Bowers. How are you going to fix that? Line up, go whoop the man across from you. I think you'll see a lot more of that style of play towards the second half of the season. Bye week coming at a great time. Got to get some guys healthy. Lab McConkey to start. Let everybody get off their feet a little bit. You know, collect what you've done in the first seven games. Take a break. Assess all that. Look forward to what you can do in the next 5 weeks, because this is where champions are made. So fascinating. One side note, Georgia's 1-5-1 against the spread. Let me just say one thing, okay? If Georgia scores first, they're going to cover the game. It's just like what they do. They're going to cover the game. If they score first, they get off to a little lead, they're off to the races. They're going to do okay. If they don't score first, if they start slow, they're not covering the game. You can make a wager on Georgia and know if that wager is going to win or lose literally in the first 7 minutes of the game. It's maddening. It's frustrating. Okay. I'm just saying that. I love my dogs. I'm just saying that. All right. Score first is what I'm saying. Jeez almighty. Okay. They score first more often. You can go to Solomon Brothers, maybe get something a little bit nicer, okay? Because you are
wallet would
be a little bit fatter, right? That's all I'm saying. Just score first. Everybody is happy. You have a little bit extra spending money. You can head on over to Solomon Brothers. Two awesome locations. One in Alpharetta, just past the Avalon. The other in Buckhead, 17th floor Tower Place. Oh, check out the watch selections, okay? The watch selections are fantastic. The jewelry is second to none. The lowest prices on the highest quality jewelry and diamonds. Guaranteed custom jewelry designs, lifetime diamond upgrades, and beautiful stores with amazing service. At Solomon Brothers on Instagram, solomonbrothers.com. Mention Punt and Pass. You can get 10% off your jewelry purchase. Do you want the big watch of the week for week 8? I can't believe it's week 8.
Dude, let me know. Before you get there, you're going on your rant about the spread. I was dying to myself because I had that video of Biden in my head, where he's like, helps everybody, hurts nobody.
Come on, man. Helps everybody.
Hurts nobody.
That's an amazing meme that's been used for golf Twitter accounts and sports wagering Twitter accounts. It's hurts nobody, helps everybody. We'll post that on our Instagram. Go check that out at Punt Pass on Twitter and Instagram. All right, big watch of the week, week 8, presented to you by Solomon Brothers. We have some amazing games, okay? A top 10 matchup in the Big Ten. Penn State heads to Ohio State. This game is at noon on Fox. This has college football playoff implications written all over it, all right? Penn State has lost their last 6 games in Columbus. They haven't won there since 2011. However, I believe they're covered the last 3. So I like Penn State in that game. We'll talk about more this Thursday. The 3:30 game, third Saturday in October, you have Tennessee heading to Alabama. That's going to be an awesome game. Revenge factor for sure. I think the storyline of the quarterbacks, who won't mess up, I think that's the storyline for the quarterbacks, Joe Milton, Jalen Milroe. That will be a great one that I bet you goes down to the last second. Then what's going on in the Pac-12, man? Utah at USC to round things out on Saturday night. Pretty nice little week 8. Yeah, get on the couch. Check out the Solomon Brothers Big Watch of the Week. Start things off with that Penn State at Ohio State game. Roll right into Tennessee at Alabama. Finish it up with a little Utah at USC. That's the Big Watch of the Week presented to you by Solomon Brothers. All right, Washington and Oregon, we need to talk about this. Let's talk about Dan Lanning.
We were able to watch a lot of that game. And that what an amazing college football game.
Awesome game. Washington wins 36-33.
Awesome for the Pac-12. Terrible for Oregon, man. I mean, like it wasn't a chip shot by any means, but 100% makeable field goal there at the end. You can't help but think about the two goal to go situations that Oregon had, where they go for it on fourth down and don't convert, when they could have kicked 2 field goals and now they're up by 6. And
how do you pass that up on the road? How do you pass up points on the road? That's just my question there. I don't know. I get you want to be aggressive. I get you want to set the tone. How do you pass up points on the road, Jake?
So I 100% get, hey, we're an aggressive team. That's our MO. That's our identity. I get it. But there is also something to think about the team morale, the vibes, how everybody's feeling on the sideline going into halftime. They had that one right before halftime to go for it. Like, you kick a field goal at halftime, everybody's vibing, everybody's feeling good about themselves. Like, nothing, you know. On the flip side, if they convert and get that touchdown, everybody's even that more hype. But if you don't get it, then everybody's, we just missed out on a big play. Everybody's feeling down a little bit, you know, like we left some plays out there. So to me, it's kind of you got to feel the game out. You got to be in that situation. But it's tough, man. It's a tough one for Oregon, and they're about to go through the gauntlet. And I think they're going to be able to fight and battle their way through it, but they're going to have to toughen up, and we're going to see what they're made of the rest of these couple weeks.
Yeah, no doubt about it. They had every chance to win that game late. They came storming back as well. I mean, I was sitting there watching. I was like, what? They showed a ton of character. Bo Nix, no quitting that guy. He had an amazing press conference on Sunday or Monday, kind of explaining his thought process just around how he goes through a loss like that and what kind of toll it takes on him and his mentality. It was really fascinating to listen to. I mean, I know the guy's been in college for what seems like 10 years, but you can't discount his maturity in that spot. Michael Penix Jr., Washington quarterback, seems like right now he is by far and away the Heisman front runner. That was a Heisman moment for him to kind of withstand, you know, Oregon's hit after hit in that amazing rivalry, a great way to go out in the Pac-12 version of that rivalry. Both those teams are heading to the Big Ten next season, but don't look past Oregon, man. They've got everything right out in front of them. You know, the Pac-12, they're going to have an opportunity to possibly find their way into the Pac-12 title game later on in the season. Washington has to go through the gauntlet as well. Pac-12 might eat themselves alive, but you've got to take the points on the road. I get it. You want to be aggressive. You want to set the tone. Come on, man. Hurts nobody. Helps everybody. Just take the points, dude. Washington wins 36-33. In the same vein, we'll stay out west. Friday night, watching a little college football. It's getting late. Had a glass of wine. Getting a little sleepy on the couch. 29-0 Colorado at half. I'm going to go to sleep. Wake up Saturday morning. Get my girls out of bed. We're going to go get some donuts. Turn the TV on. SportsCenter. Colorado loses 46-43 in double overtime. I couldn't believe what I was looking at. Had to get my phone out. Had to say, was something wrong? How on earth does Colorado blow a 29-point lead at halftime to lose to Stanford? And then when you look at what they did in the second half, they're throwing the ball. They're not taking care of clock management. It was crazy how bad Colorado mismanaged that second half to lose 46-43 in double overtime after having a 29-0 lead at halftime, Jake.
Gosh, I don't know, man. What's worse, being up 29-0 at half and losing, or losing the game the way Miami did against Georgia Tech?
Oh, that's a great question. I would have to say Miami because you have the game won. I mean, the game is over. The game is done if you just take a knee. But the Colorado thing, and then Deion like deflecting blame to his players post game, like that's so classic.
Yeah, not a great look. I mean, you got to take ownership on that. I mean, dude, you're the guy. You're up 29-0. You got to just walk out of that one with a win. It doesn't matter how sloppy the second half is. You got to win that football game. So, I mean, I think one receiver had over 250 something yards. In the second half alone.
Yeah, Elik Ayomanor, he had zero catches in the first half of the game. Zero receptions for 0 yards in the first half of the game against Colorado. He finished with 13 catches, 294 yards, and 3 touchdowns. That's unbelievable. I mean, that is so improbable in the world of college football today. I can't wrap my head around that. It's absolutely wild. Colorado loses a game that they absolutely should have won. Big props to Stanford for staying in the fight. That's a huge kind of program-changing win for them as they're going through a lot of change with a new head coach this year. So hats off to those boys. No quit in them for sure. And Colorado back to the drawing board, no doubt about it.
Yeah, yeah. They got to get going. They got to find some wins. It looks like it's going to be tough to win out in the Pac-12 this year.
Yeah, no doubt about that. USC laying a dud against Notre Dame. Notre Dame beat Southern Cal 48-20. Caleb Williams, 3 interceptions in the first half. We said it last Thursday, weather could be dicey. I think Notre Dame's defense could get after USC. I don't know if USC's offense was ready to kind of take on the physicality of Notre Dame, and all that turned out to be very true. Caleb Williams' Heisman campaign, done. USC's national championship hopes, done. Wow. I did not expect 48-20 with that amount of turnovers from USC.
Yeah. Like I expected Notre Dame to win this football game, but not in that fashion.
Yep.
I mean, that was pretty dominating fashion. Just looks like USC is just, I mean, they got a long way to go to really compete week in and week out on that level. I'm just curious, just throwing the question out there. I mean, is this hurt Caleb Williams' draft stock at all?
It's a great question. I don't think so. I mean, how much raw talent he has? I mean, the guy can sling it. He can get outside the pocket. You know, is there something to be said for quarterbacks who've been coached by Lincoln Riley and how they translate into the NFL? I think you could definitely make that case. That's Kyler Murray. That's Baker Mayfield. That's maybe one other. I'm not sure if I'm missing another one there, but you could definitely make that argument. System quarterback can't translate to the NFL. Having a game like that, I think all quarterbacks have that game. Now, I don't know about 3 interceptions in a half, but all quarterbacks kind of go through that rut. Yeah. And I think NFL scouts will definitely look past a performance like that. But Notre Dame had their number. That's a huge win for Notre Dame. I was saying, I didn't know if they had enough gas. 4 straight primetime games. They're heading into a bye week as well. They already have 2 losses, but huge win for them. You feel bad for USC, or maybe you don't. It seems like that defense finally got exposed, and tough sledding for them to make it to the college football playoff. No doubt about it. All right, let's go rapid fire on the SEC real quick. LSU 48-18 against Auburn. I thought that game would be way closer. Jaden Daniels continues to put up some gaudy stats. LSU just so inconsistent this year. It's crazy, Jake.
Yeah, I talked to my brother about that one. Just tough. They just, you know, it's obviously, you know, they have trouble scoring points anyway. And then when, you know, when defense doesn't play well, you just kind of, you put an offense that isn't ready to score points in a bad position, and then it can get ugly fast. So LSU, man, had a great plan on offense, executed well, and was a fun night in Death Valley.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Tennessee, 20-13, they beat Texas A&M. Turnovers galore in this game. A punt return for a touchdown. Ugly, ugly football, but Tennessee stays alive. They beat Texas A&M 20-13 at home, setting up a huge rematch against Alabama coming up this weekend. Alabama sneaks out with a win against Arkansas 24-21. The Fighting Sam Pittman showing a lot of life. I thought they were going to win that game. Crazy to think Jalen Milroe, 238 yards and two touchdowns. Alabama's offense had the most yards that they've had all season long. So it seems like they're finding something with getting the ball vertical, throwing it downfield, kind of letting Milroe sit back there, chuck it deep, so to say, but also just understanding, hey, we're going to give you as many options possible in the passing game. Great effort by Arkansas. Alabama wins 24-21 to stay undefeated in the SEC. Florida, we mentioned, beat South Carolina 41-39. That was a pretty interesting game in the afternoon. Graham Mertz, your boy, Jake, 423 yards and three touchdowns. And then Missouri. We'll end things here. Missouri beats Kentucky in Lexington 38-21. Seems like Mizzou is kind of that one team that's a wild card right now in the SEC. For sure. They're taking on Georgia the week after the Florida game. And I believe Mizzou is coming off a bye taking on Georgia in Athens. I will check that right now. Your thoughts on Missouri, Jake?
Just kind of watch out for them. They play South Carolina next at home. At
yes, and then they do have a bye, and then they go to Georgia.
Just watch out. I mean, they got some dudes. They got some good things rolling right now. It's just not a team to look by, to look over. Look, Georgia's got a tough schedule after the bye, so they better figure it out over the bye week. Better get some guys healthy, figure out who they are as a team, what their identity is, and something to always go back to and hang their hat on, because they're going to have to find ways to win come later in the year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And remember last year against Missouri is where Georgia almost lost their only game of the season. So they will definitely have their radars running wild when the Tigers come to town. Granted, if they beat Florida down in Jacksonville. So everything, as much as we know about teams in college football right now, I feel like that bye week is such a critical point in the season, because it really is an opportunity to assess who we are. What do we do that's good? What do we do that's bad? What can we correct? What do we need to throw out? How do we move on to kind of tackle the second half of the season? So you might see some new identity moving forward, especially in a case like Georgia, where they know they're not going to have Brock Bowers for the next couple of weeks. It's just an inflection point in every season. And I always say, you know who you are at this point. And I'll end with this, and I want you to tell me if I'm wrong. When I'm watching the Georgia game on Saturday, you and I discussed what the feeling is like, 11 a.m. kick, Vanderbilt, small crowd. You know, we never played when the stadium was completely under construction, which was just absolutely wild. Just sneezed on air. Thank you very much.
Bless you.
Thank you, sir. I feel like George is missing an on-field leader, a vocal, emotional, energetic on-field leader. Now, you've said this to me in previous episodes. If there's nobody on the team, somebody should not fake it and act like that's who they are because they know there's a void. If they just simply don't have one, I think that's very interesting. But there are times in a game, and I point to the slow start at Vanderbilt, to where I don't see anybody stepping up in that role for Georgia, either on the offense or the defensive side of the ball. I think it also shows in how Kirby Smart talks about the team or talks to the team in postgame press conferences. You see his mannerisms on the sideline. It's just different. I don't know if that's a good thing. I don't know if it's a bad thing, but I honestly do feel Georgia is missing that on-field leader this season, and there might just not be one on the team. I don't know. That's just what I see.
I think I see the same thing that you're seeing.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing,
to be determined.
TBD. I just know from years past, my personal experiences, usually the best teams have some dudes. You know,
yeah.
I mean, let's just say
and Georgia lost a lot of dudes.
Anytime you talk about a team, what they did, I mean, you just start rattling off names. That guy was a dude. That guy was a player.
Roquan, N'Kobe, you know, Stetson. But Stetson was not the rah-rah leadership guy. Like, he did it in his own way. I'm trying to think of some other guys just off the top of my head. But so many teams have great leaders that you can just kind of point to. Nolan Smith. I mean, like Nolan Smith was an on-field leader, so much so that he was out for the season and said, I have to stay around the guys. I have to be that guy in the locker room. I don't see a Nolan Smith on this football team. I don't. Yeah. And I think that could cause some issues when at 11:30 a.m. local time, when Vandy's punching you in the face and you have the scoreboard hanging from a freaking crane and there's 20,000 people in the stands, you don't have anybody saying, wake up. Coaches can't do it every time. You don't have that guy on the sideline saying, we need to take control of the situation at hand right now and go handle business. Maybe somebody steps up in that role during the bye week. I don't know.
Yeah, I hope it's Carson. Hope he steps up.
Yeah.
He's as that a guy
right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, dude, I think Carson's played really well. I mean,
by all accounts.
Yeah, I mean, sure. Has he missed a few? Yes. Any Who quarterback doesn't? At this yes. point in the season has missed a couple throws, 100%. But, dude, he's playing really well. He's done some really good things. He's gotten the ball out of his hand in the right location at the right time. Just can he take that next step as a leader to really make a play when a play is needed? That's just
yeah.
That's just what we're going to need going through in this these last couple weeks and through that gauntlet stretch.
I agree. I think Jamon Dumas Johnson is close on the defensive side of the ball. I think Javon Bullard is close on the defensive side of the ball. These guys are still young, right? Mm-hmm. And they're finding their way to how to deliver their message of being that on-field leader. Okay, I'm not talking about play. Play obviously plays into it. I'm talking about emotional communicator, get the guys going, get everybody right type of leader, which every team needs. So we'll be interested to see. We will be interested to see. This is it, man. Bye week coming up. Got to take account. Get everything in the books and see how you can get rolling towards the second half of the season. Second half of the season means the holidays are right around the corner. Be sure to head on over to Solomon Brothers Jewelers, family owned and operated since 1982. Solomon Brothers has the largest diamond and jewelry inventory in the Southeast. The store is for anyone with any budget. Mention Punt and Pass or myself or Jake. Get 10% off your jewelry purchase. Check them out at Solomon Brothers on Instagram, solomonbrothers.com. The biggest selection, the best quality, the lowest prices, and an in-store experience that is totally unmatched. Alpharetta and Buckhead, solomonbrothers.com. Follow us on social media at Punt and Pass on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Drew Butler. He's at From Jake, puntandpass.com. Jake. The Commanders are what, 4-3 now?
3-3.
3-3. Anything on the way out, man?
Nothing, man. It was good to be back in the A, back in the state of Georgia this weekend. Bro. Even better to come out with a win. So excited to go in this next week, man. The weather is officially turning up here. Leaves are starting to turn real good. Play the Giants next, man. Get ready for another week.
There you go. Divisional matchup, NFC Beast matchup. I love it. Mm-hmm. I love it. All right, my brother. Thank you so much. Have a great week, everybody, and we will talk to you on Thursday. See ya.
We out.
The warm air, the sounds of baseball, it's got you thinking about hitting the road. And no matter where your adventures take you, Subaru of Gwinnett has a vehicle to get you there safely and in style. Like the 2024 Subaru Outback, sporting standard symmetrical all-wheel drive and up to 32 miles per gallon. Or the 2024 Subaru Forester, the SUV with a spacious and comfortable interior for everyone you want to bring along. Start your shopping online at SubaruofGwinnett.com, then come see us for a test drive on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
This morning in North Carolina, wheels are spinning. Determination is winning. A passion is now a thriving business, and it shows no signs of slowing down. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one Clint Spiegel had with First Horizon Bank about starting a bike wheel manufacturing facility in Asheville. Now it's not just talk, it's rubber meets road. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Clint. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.